Today's Amud is Megillah Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We're holding on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the third line down from the wide lines, the last word on the line. So, as we've mentioned already before in the past, that Achashverosh didn't come from royal blood, and therefore, as the Megillah goes on to explain, is that one of the first things Achashverosh does is he throws a huge party. And what's the reason of the party? So says the Megillah, probably Achashverosh didn't announce this, but the pasuk in the Megillah says, "Baharaisa yes Aisha kvayd malchusai," that he throws this huge party, 180-day long party, in order to show off his wealth. He wants to show everybody how powerful he is, how rich he is, so he makes this humongous party. But in the pasuk, so it says, when it describes Achashverosh, so it says, Chel paras umadei apartamim. So it describes some of the people there, and it says the kings of Paras, and the madei apartamim, and the governors, the officials, the who came from Madai. So it sounds like kings come from Paras, and the government, they came from Madai. But then in the end of the Megillah, Uksiv l'malchi Madai uParas. It connects Malchus with Madai, and then says uParas. So who were the kings? Were the kings from Paras, or were the kings from Madai? So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava explained, that Esnuye Asnu B'Hadadi, that Paras and Madai made a treaty with each other. And they said that Iminan Malche, Minayu iParche. That if the kings come from us, so then the government officials will come from you. V'minaychu malchei, and if the kings come from you, minani varchei, so then the government officials will come from us. They made a pact with each other that one of them will be the king and the other one will take up the senate, so to speak. They'll be the ones in the government. And then he made this party to show off his tremendous wealth. And so says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, that one of the things you see from this pasuk hinted to in this pasuk is Melamed Shelavash Bigdei Kohuna. You see that Achashverosh was wearing the Bigdei Kohuna. Now, where do you see that in the pasuk? So really, the end of the pasuk says, it says he made this party, Baharaisai, Esayisha Kvayd Malchusai, Ve'es Yekar Tiferes Gudulasai. So says Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Ksiv Hachar Yekar Tiferes Gudulasai. It says that he was showing off the covet and the Tiferes of his God, and of his Godlos, Yekar Tiferes Gudulasai. Uksiv Hasam, it says regarding the Bigdei Kohuna, L'chavayd V'Tiferes. So being that there also it says a lashon of covenant tiferes, and here it says yikar tiferes, which also is covenant tiferes, so we make the gzeirah shava that's obviously that's what Achashverosh was wearing. He was wearing the Bigdei Kohuna. So the pasuk then goes to say that once this 180 day party was over, so Achashverosh, after this 180 day party, he then makes a party for the locals. He makes a party for the people in Shushan. Remember, he stepped on their toes after all by moving the capital to Shushan. So he has to make it up to them. So after making a party where everybody was invited, and he wanted everybody to be there so he could show off his tremendous wealth, he then makes a party that was specific and special for the people of Shushan. So at the end of this 180-day party, so he goes ahead and he makes a 7-day party for the people of Shushan. Now says the Gemara about this tactic, that first he made the party for the whole world, and then he made the 7-day party for the locals. So Rav Shmuel have a machlaikis in terms of how to understand this tactic. That chad amar melech pikeachaya, mechad amar melech tipeishaya. One of them says that Achashverosh had bad policy. He was smart. He had good policies. The other one says that no, he was a tipish. He was a fool, and he had bad policies. Manda amar melech pikeachaya. The one who says that he was a smart king. Shapir avad dekariv rechika bereisha. It was smart that he did this. That he first made the party for those that lived further. That it was smart that he was first mekariv, so to speak, those that lived far. The bnei masay kol emas deboi mefayislu, because the people that are local, he'll have a much easier time appeasing them. Whenever he wants, he could go ahead and he could appease them. Umanda Amar Tipesh Haya, and the one who says that Achashverosh was a foolish king, is the reason why he viewed this as being foolish, is because the Ibaile the Kruve B'nei Masei Bereisha. Really, the smartest thing is to first be Makariv, the people in your own local town. The Mardu Behanach, Hani Havukaimi Bahadeh. If you have the locals that support you, so then even if those that live further, that live farther away, they try to rebel, so you'll have all these locals that are there to protect you. So therefore, this was a foolish policy, that which he made a part party first for everybody, and then only afterwards made a party for the people in Shushan. So it comes out very strange, this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, because they're not just arguing if Achashverosh was a Tippish, but if you think about it, what comes out is that each one is saying about the other that he's a Tippish. Each one's saying that the other one's a political Tippish. According to Rav, who said that whichever one said whatever they said, each one holds that the other one has bad policies. He was politically not very wise. L'chari, that's not the pshat in this machlekes. I heard once from Rav Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan, the Mashgiach of Chevron, the way he explained the machlekes is that avada, everybody agrees, Rav and Shmuel both agree that there's a time and place for everything. And sometimes each one has its pros and cons, and so there's a mile of being Makara first the ones that are local, and there's a mile of being Makara first the ones that live farther away. Each one has its pros and cons. The Machlekes Rav and Shmuel is not objectively, was this a good policy? The Machlekes Rav and Shmuel is how to view the Megillah. When you're learning the sugya of the Megillah, when you're learning up the Megillah, should we view Achashverosh as being a Chacham, or should we view him as a Pikeach, or should we view him as being a Tippish? That's the Machlekes. It's not an objective Machlekes, it's a Machlekes how to view Achashverosh when learning up the Megillah. Says the Gemara Vayter now, that Shalu Talmidav es Rav Shimon bar Yochai. The Talmidim of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, so they asked him, Bipnei man ischaivu, seinein shal Yisrael sheba'isa hador kalaya. Why is it that Klal Yisrael at that time was chayv to be destroyed? Haman made a gzeira, lahashmid, laharig, la'abed, es kol ayhudim. Everybody was deserving of, was subject to Misa. And so obviously that means it's Mina Shemayim. And the question is why? What did they do that was so terribly wrong? So Amar Lahem, so Rav Shimon bar Yochai said to his Talmidim, like a very good Rebbe does, as he says, Imruatem, I want you, tell me, what do you think? Instead of just giving up the answer, so Rav Shimon bar Yochai, he has to tell me, then why don't you tell me what you're thinking? So Amrulai, so the Talmidim said to Rashbi, they said, Neshanenu Misudasei Shalai Sarasha. The reason why they were Chayiv Kalaya is because they went to Achashverosh's party. Mordechai told them not to. Over 18,000 Jews went to the party. And so because they went to this party, which is filled with pritzos and perhaps treif and yai nesech and all these things, so that's why they were Chayiv Kalaya. So the Bach adds in, so Amrulai, so Rashbi said back to his Talmidim that Im Kain, if that's the reason why they were Chayiv Kulaya, so then Shebeshushan Yehargu, Shebechol Oilam Kula Al Yehargu. If that was the reason, so then the Gzeira should have only been on the people of Shushan, because the only people that went to the Suda were Jews that lived in Shushan. So only the Jews in Shushan should have been punished, and not the Jews that lived in other places. Now the Medrash in Shirashirim Rabbah, in Perek Zion, so over there, it goes like, the Medrash goes like the Talmidim of Rashbi, that the reason why they were Chayiv Kalaya is because they were Nanu Misudasa Shalasa Rasha. And the Medrash explains that the reason why it wasn't just the Gzeira on Shushan, the Gzeira was against the whole world, was because Kol Yisrael, Ravim Zelazet, we're all responsible for each other, and sometimes even if some do an Avera, so we're all held accountable. But Lamaisa Rav Shimon bar Yochai did not accept this answer. He said that that can't be the reason for the Gzeira, because then it should have only been on the Jews of Shushan. And so Amrulai, so the Talmidim said to Rashbi, okay, well now that we took a swing at things and you obviously don't think we got it right, so Emirata, so why don't you go ahead and why don't you tell us why you suppose the Jews were Chayiv Kalaya? So Amar Lahem, so Rashbi says to the Talmidim, the reason why they were Chayiv Kalaya is because they bowed to the Tzelem, which could have meant that they bowed to the Tzelem that maybe Haman was wearing a Tzelem, and Mordechai said not to bow to Haman. Mordechai was adamant, you're not supposed to bow to Haman, and so maybe there were some Jews that bowed the Tzelem. Lamaisa Rashi explains that it's referring to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. The story is told over in Daniel, in Paragimel of Sefer Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar made this big Avodah Zarah, and for its inauguration of the Avodah Zarah, so he invited representatives from all the different communities around the world to come, and everyone was going to bow together to the Avodah Zarah. And like that, it would be like, consider like each representative would be representing his community, and like that, it would be like the whole world was bowing to this Avodah Zarah. Lamaisa, there were Yidden that bowed to this Avodah Zarah, with the exception of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Vazaria, who were then later thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh because they refused to bow. But Lamaisa, there were many Yidden that bowed to the Tzelem. And so says Rashbi, that's why they were Chayiv Kilaya. Now the question is if we're referring now to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, so that was many years prior to the Purim story. So why are they all of a sudden getting punished now for it? So the Ben Ishchai explains that the reason why they're getting punished now for it is because the Maisa, then they had a little bit of an excuse that maybe they only bowed because they were forced to. They were forced to by their life, that they had to bow to it. The Maisa, now that they then bowed to Haman, or they were Nana from the Suda, so then that shows that now, no, you can't Tainas Einis anymore. You can't say you were forced, and therefore it was now by the Purim story, that's when they were punished for it. The Sfas Emes says that the reason why Rashi doesn't say that Ishtachvu Letzelem refers to bowing to the Tzelem of Haman is because then Vayter, it should have only been a select amount of Jews that would have gotten punished. It wasn't the Jews all across the world that were bowing to Haman. It was only those that were Bechatzar Melech, and therefore it shouldn't have been a Gzeira against all of Klai Yisrael like Rashbi Taina Tis Talmidim with regards to the Suda. But so that's what Rashbi said. It was Mibnesha Ishtachavu Letzela. Says the Gemara, so Amrulai, so the Talmidim said to Rashim Bar Yochai, they said if the reason why they're being punished is because of Avodah Zarah, so then they should have taka been killed. V'chimas v'ypanim yesh badavar, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing favoritism? That's why taka were they zaycha to the nes? So Amr Lahem, so Rashbi answered back to them, that heim loy asu ala lefanim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy asu iman ala lefanim. L'maisa, when they bowed to the Tzelem, it wasn't willingly. They still felt a certain element of force, and therefore it was like a fake bowing. They weren't bowing in acknowledgement that this is the, you know, this is, so to speak, a god. They were bowing because they felt that they had to. So therefore, it was all really a charade. It was all really a fake. They weren't really bowing. They were bowing because they felt they had to. It was a fake bow. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, made a fake gzeira. And we felt that we had a gzeira against us, but really, there was no real gzeira. There was no chiev of kalaya. V'hainu dechsev kiloy anam b'li. That they didn't do it really with kavana. If you don't do it with kavana, so Hashem then he sends us an easier punishment, so to speak, and that's the reason for what happened. Says the Gemara, now continuing to darshan the Psukim of the Megillah, it says Bechatzar Ginas Bisan Hamelach. So the Marsha explains, or really maybe it's even Rashi on the Pasuk, that the difference between these different places is that a chatzar is just like an open area. A gina refers to a garden, like a vegetable garden, and a bisan refers to a tree, a fruit garden, a garden where you have trees. So now the Pasuk says that the party took place in all these different places. So now, which one was it? Was it Bechatzar? Was it the Gina? Was it the Bison? Where was this party? So Rav and Shmuel, they have a machlaikis about how to understand the Pasuk. Chad Amar, one of them said, Haroi lechatzar lechatzar. Certain people that were roy to go to the chatzar, so Achashverosh put them, their place at the party was according to their rank, so they went to the chatzar. Haroi legina legina, those that were roy for the gina, they went to the gina, and haroi lebison lebison, each one went to the place that they were roy for. V'chad Amar, the other one said, that no, heshivan b'chatzar, b'leich zikasan. First he put everybody in the chatzar, but then he ran out of space. Begina v'leich zikasan. He put them, more people in the gina, and again there was no space, there was so many people at the party. Until finally he brought them into the Bisan, and that's when there was enough space. The Masnisa Tana, a different shad, that Hashivan Bechatzar, that really the party was in the Chatzar, but Upasach Lam Shnei Psachim, but then he opened up two different doorways, Echad Legina Vech Labisan, one going into the Gina, and one going into the Bisan. And the Ben Yayada, the Ben Ishchai, explains, or in Ben Ayahu, he explains that the reason why Achashverosh did it like this, that he opened up the doorways into all the different types of places, was in order to encourage mingling so that there should be extra mingling at the party. Says the Gemara Vayter, that Chor, Karpas, Uschelas, so the Psukim then go on to describe different things that they had at this party. So amongst the list is Chor, Karpas, Uschelas. So my Chor, what does Chor mean? Rav Amar Chari Chari. Rav says that there were netted sheets around at the party. Ushmul Amar Melas Levana Hatzia Lahem. That there was these white, clean, woolen sheets that he spread out on the beds which is what they ate on, right? Used to eat on these couches, so they had these nice sheets, either these netted sheets or these white wool sheets. Karpas, Amr B'Yaisi Barchanina, is Karim Shalpasim. Karpas means that it was Karim Shalpasim, it was these silk mattresses. That's what he had on the beds, on the couches. Al Glile Chasef, Amude Sheish, Mitoizav, Chasef. So now this pasuk seems to almost be like Saiser itself, Mineu Bey. It says there were beds of gold and silver. So which one was it? Was the beds made out of gold? Was it made out of silver? So Tanya, we learned in the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda explained, Haroi L'chasev L'chasev, Haroi L'zav L'zav, that it would depend on your ranking once again. Those that were Roy to be on a silver bed went to a silver bed. Those that were Roy for the golden couch, they had the golden membership. And Amar Loi Rabbi Nechemia, however, Rabbi Nechemia said to Rabbi Yehuda, that Imkain, it doesn't make sense that that's the Pshan in the Pasuk, because Imkain Atameto Kina Besuda. And that's going to arouse a lot of jealousy at the party. Now, Ahasuerus doesn't want people to be not happy. He wants everyone to be very happy with him as the king, especially because he doesn't come from royalty. He needs everyone to be happy. It doesn't make sense to say that he would have this at his party, that different people, according to their rank, would have different beds. So Taisus points out that even though before we said, Haroi l'chatzor l'chatzor, Haroi l'gina l'gina, Haroi l'bison l'bison, that's, at least there in that case, they weren't seeing each other. It was three different places. You don't see your friend that's in another place, and therefore that doesn't arouse jealousy. But to have in one room some people on gold beds and some people on silver beds according to their rank, so that's going to arouse jealousy. So rather, says Rabbi Nechemia, what the pasuk means to say is Ella heim shel kesef v'ragleyen shel zav, that the beds themselves, the frames, I guess, of the couches, of the beds, they were made out of silver, but then the feet of the bed, they were made out of gold. So it was gold and silver. The frames are made out of silver, and the legs of the bed, those were made out of gold. So now, how did he know it wasn't the opposite? Maybe it was the frames of the bed that were made out of gold, and the legs are made out of silver. So the Marsha explains that no, it's mistaber, it's like this, because generally the frame of the bed is covered. So again, this is all part of the charade. You want to show off your wealth, so which part do you want to be gold? You want the legs to be gold, because those are the parts that stick out, and that's what everyone sees. So that's why it's mistaber that the frames of the bed were made out of silver, and the legs of the bed, those were the parts that were made out of gold. Bahad v'sheish, continuing to list things at the party. Amrab Asi, what's Bahad v'sheish referring to? It's avanim shemischoitu toisal balayin. It's precious stones that are very difficult to get, and you have to spend a lot of money for them, so that's what they had on the floor of this party. V'cheinu oimer avne nezer misnoisois alad masai. That there are these very expensive stones that are very difficult to get, so that's Bahad v'sheish. Vidar v'seichares. So Rav Amar Dare Dare. Rav says Vidar v'seichares refers to Dare Dare. It was rows and rows of these stones. And Rashi adds Seichares means it was in the circle. It was in a circle. It was in a circular design around, I guess, on the floor. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, I know that what the pasuk Vidar v'seichares is referring to is Even Toiva Yesh Bechrake Hayam. There's this very special stone that you have very far away. Udara Shema, and Dara Vidar, that's the name of this stone. And Hashiva Be'emsa Suda, Umeira Lahem Kitzarayim, and Achashverish put it in the middle of the hall of the Suda, and it provided light like it was the middle of the day. And Rashi adds that that's what the word Seichares means. Dar is referring to this stone. Veseichares is a Lashon of Ches and a Heir, sometimes interchangeable. So Seichares is a Lashon of Sahara, which is a Lashon of light. Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Shekara Dror L'chol Bali Schaira. Vidar v'Seicharis means that Achashverus called a Dror. He gave a tax cut on all the Seicharis and all the different merchants. There was a very heavy tax, and Achashverus, for his locals, he lifted some of the tax. The pasuk says that he gave them to drink in these golden kalim and different kalim and all different types of kalim. So ask the Gemara, kalim shainim mishunim mi ba'ilei. The proper way to say this would have been mikalim mishunim. Why is it saying mikalim shainim? Amar Rava darshins that what the pasuk means is like this: that yatzas abasko v'amr lehem, abasko came out and said to those at the party, or maybe more specifically to Achashverosh, that rishainim kalu mibnei kalim. That it was the rishainim balshatzar. He was killed because of these kalim. You're taking out the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. That's why Belshazzar was killed. And you're going to repeat his mistake, and you're going to do the same thing. How foolish could you be? V'yein malchus rav. The pasuk says that the wine of the king was tremendous. Amarav, Rav explained that what does it mean that the wine was rav? Milamit shekol echad ve'echad hishkohu yayin shegadol heimenu b'shanim. They would ask each person how old he was, and they would serve him wine that was rav, that was older than the person who they asked. So let's say a person said he was 60, they would ask him, they would serve him some wine that was older than 60. The Gra explains that the reason why the Gemara and the Psukim really in the Megillah go through all these details about how fancy the party was again a similar idea of what we mentioned in the past, is to show us that a mashal, that you see the Rishayim are having such a tremendous Olam Hazeh, we can only imagine what the Nimshal is in Olam Haba. If this is what a person can have in Olam Hazeh, so this is like a mashal to the greatness that awaits a person for doing the right thing in Olam Haba. The pasuk then says, "Vashsiya kedas," that they drank according to the law. So, what does that mean? My kedas. What does it mean according to the law? Amar Rav Chanan mishum Rav Meir kedas shel Torah. It means that they did it according to the way the Torah says is the proper way to drink. What is that referring to? Ma'ada shel Torah achila meruba mishtia. Just like in the Torah, so the proper way to drink is that your food should be more than the amount that you drink, like we see from Karbanos. So af sudasai shel oisei rasha achila meruba mishtia. So too at this suda, so they ate more than it is that they drank. I don't know if this was bedafka that Achashverosh organized the party like that it should be kedas shel Torah, but the Gemara is pointing out that that's the meaning of the pasuk vashsiya kedas. Ein aynes, there was no force. Amr Rebbe Lazar, melamed shekol echad ve'echad hishkahu miyein medinasai. That each person was given wine that came from his medina, so he didn't have to be forced. It was something each person liked. Lasa is kirtza and ish v'ish, and they serve this wine to do the will of ish v'ish, of a man and a man. Amar Rava, what's this referring to? Lasa is kiratza and Mordechai v'haman. That they served the wine to do the will of Mordechai and Haman, meaning Mordechai and Haman, Rashi says, were, so to speak, bartenders at this party. And how do you see that from the words Ish v'Ish? Mordechai is called Ish, Tichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Ish Yehudi. And Haman, we find, is called Ish, as the Pasuk says, Ish Tzar V'Oyev. So you see, each one of them is called an Ish. So now the Manas Halevi explains that to Lasis, Kirtzon, Ish v'Ish, means to do like the Ratzon of Haman, is to serve all different sort of Mechalas Asura at the party to the Yidden, but Kirtzayin Mordechai is that not to force anybody. They had all these different things that were usher at the party, but to do the Ratzon of Mordechai, Mordechai was there to be, so to speak, the Rav HaMachshir, which is not very interesting, that even though Mordechai was telling everybody not to go to the party, I guess at some point the right way to do it was then to be at the party, and then at least to make sure that those that were going to the party were at least doing it in the most appropriate way possible once they were going anyways. So I'll hold it here, but I just want to mention, really highlight, an interesting scene that plays out based on our Gemara. So we mentioned that one of the shitas about why the Yidden were punished and they were chayiv kalaya during the times of Purim is because they were nena misidasei shel oisei rasha. So this is probably one of my favorite scenes in all of Tanakh. Just try to picture the scene. Here you have a new king, Achashverosh. So Achashverosh is the king, and like we said, he didn't come from royalty, so he's hungry for power. And he wants everyone to see how great he is, he wants everyone to see how wealthy he is, and so he makes this huge party so that everyone should see how powerful and how wealthy he is. Now, he wants everybody to be at this party. He understandably so. He wants everybody to see his wealth. So if you don't go, you're rebelling against the king. You have to be crazy not to go to this party. And then on the other side, what do we have? We have Mordechai, who, you know, Mordechai sits his whole day, he's learning Torah, and he comes out with a petek, right? He puts out a petek, and it says that no one should go to the party, it's usher to go to the party, there's pritzos, avodah zarah, you're not allowed to go to the party, and it's signed by Mordechai. So you know what a lot of people were probably thinking when they saw this petek? Oh, so cute, the little tzaddikal thinks that he knows politics. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He thinks that we shouldn't go to the party. Is he nuts? Doesn't he know? How naive could he be? He doesn't realize that if you want to make it in life, if you want to be successful, and especially in Galus, so you have to go along with the flow. You have to give in a little bit on your values. You have to be like everybody else. And if the Goyim want us to join this party, so we're in their land. We have to abide by their rules, and we have to go to the party. They probably, some of them maybe even say that it's pikuach nefesh, you have to go. If we don't go to the party, so they're going to think that we're rebelling against them and they're going to have us all killed. And so what does Mordechai say? Mordechai says, no, you got it all wrong. You have to realize that Hashem runs the world. And it's based off of our averis and our mitzvahs, so that's how Hashem decides whether things work out for us and our standing in galus. It's not about, you know, trying to do and trying to appease the guy. We have to do what's right. And it really says, Mordechai, it's the opposite. If you go to the party and you do this big aveira by going to the party, so then we're going to get killed. Then Hashem's going to have us killed. And they're thinking, you know, this rabbi is such an extremist, and what is he? Was he crazy not to go to the party? And unfortunately, many Yidden, they go to this party. And you have a similar scene that plays out later when it comes to Haman coming out, and he wants everybody to bow to him. And Mordechai tells everybody, don't bow to Haman. He's wearing an avodah zarah, whatever exactly the details are. There was some form of Avodah Zarah in bowing to Haman, and Mordechai tells everybody, don't bow to Haman, don't give in. And they're all looking at him like he's crazy, he's being this extremist again, he's going to have us all killed again, what's he nuts, he's out of his mind. If you don't bow to Haman, you know what Haman's going to do? He already hates us. If he sees that the Jews aren't bowing to him, for sure he's going to turn around right then and there, and he'll make some sort of gzeirah to have us all killed. And what does Mordechai say? Then no, you have it all wrong again. If you do the right thing in life, if you do the Ratzon Hashem, so then we're going to be good. But if you do averus, and if you bow to Haman, so then Hashem's going to have us all killed. And what happens? So stubborn Mordechai, so to speak, he doesn't give up on his values, and Haman comes into the chatzar, and Mordechai decides he's not bowing. Like, come v'loiza, Mordechai doesn't bow to Haman. And Haman gets very upset. They tell Haman, Mordechai's not bowing to you. Haman gets very upset. And he says on the spot, that's it, I'm making a gzeira, I'm going to kill all the Jews. All the Jews are going to die. And Mordechai turns around, and you know, there's some Jews maybe on the floor getting up from their bow, and Mordechai says to them, see, I told you so, you are bowing, and now Haman wants to kill us. And they look at Mordechai, you're out of your mind. We just saw what happened. It's because you weren't bowing to Haman, that's why Haman decided that he's going to kill all of us. Read the paper, everybody sees it, it's front page highlights, the front page on the headlines on the news. You see, Haman himself said it on the radio. Haman said, I saw Mordechai not bowing, and that's why I want to wipe out all the Jews. How could you possibly say that it's our fault? They're looking at Mordechai like he's lost his mind. You're telling us it's because we bowed. We saw clearly, we see it on the news, Haman himself said it, that the reason why he's killing all the Jews, he's making a gzeira to kill all the Jews, is because he saw that you weren't bowing to him. How could you possibly say it's our fault? But yet, what do Chazal tell us in our Gemara on Yud Beis Amud Aleph? Who was right? Says the Gemara, why were they chayiv klaya? Nenu rasha, or because it's because they bowed to the tzelem, it's because they were nena misudasa shalaisa rasha, that's why they were chayiv klaya. Apparently extreme Mordechai wasn't so extreme. The lesson is that the Gedolim are the Einei Ha'eda. They tell us how to see things. Life's a charade. We think we know what's going on because we see it on the news. We see that he said this or that's what's happening, and we think that we understand exactly why things are happening and what's going on. That's not the case. What we see on the news is not the true story. Chazal, the Gedolim, are the Einei Ha'eda, and they tell us, and they're the only ones that could tell us how to really read world's events and how to really understand what's going on.